The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Down. What are you watching the clock today over there?
No, just noon time on a Friday.
That it is. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Patriots schedule came out last night. 5 primetime games for the New England Patriots. The Pats are playing in primetime as many times this year as they did the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that, and this is a typical Patriots schedule. It's the hardest schedule in the NFL based on the winning percentage of the opponents on the schedule in their records last season. It's the hardest one in the league. The Patriots have a bunch of hard games on here, and they've got primetime games, and they have 425 games, 3 of them. So half of their schedule are in national windows, though. What's it say about what the league believes about the Patriots? I think it says a couple of things. Number one, they believe they'll be okay. They'll be decent. They also probably believe the Patriots are still a mega draw, good or bad, whether it's fans of the Patriots across the country or it is people that are very interested in the Patriots post-Tom Brady in wanting
the
to
story,
see what it
the
is
story
they
has
become.
Shifted. The story has shifted. You know, when Brady was here, we'd always be in primetime because everybody wants to see Brady and the Patriots play. I think when the league looked at it, they said, we've got to get Kansas City on TV. We've got to get Green Bay on TV. We've got to get Dallas on TV. We got to get Baltimore more on TV. And then I think New England falls in that next category of teams where they may not have the superstar power punch that they've had, but they got the coach and they got a story that can be told this year if things go right for them. And I think that's where they're rolling the dice, putting them in there. And it tells you the league still respects them, still likes their chances, which means they should be at least a 9-7 team contending for their division, if not winning their division. And they should be a playoff team. I think those teams that are in there, that are in the mix, and Hardy, you know, you mentioned the Rams. I kind of scratched my head as to why the Rams were there because they lost a lot of star power. But you're right, it's a hell of a TV market, L.A. And I just think New England's still a story with Bill. I don't know if you get that many primetime games if Bill's not the head coach.
Well, not only that, I mean, L.A. has to play. They're going to play a Thursday night game.
Yeah.
And that is the one against the Patriots. And, yeah, I guess it's the L.A. market, but I think maybe they're just a team that they're expecting to bounce back from the year that they had a year ago. And
if the coach is worth anything, it should. They should.
Right, exactly. I think they're buying in on Sean McVay is what they're really doing there with the L.A. Rams. They had a full slate of primetime games last year, too. So not entirely surprising, but they do. They have the Patriots a game on Sunday night against the Chargers, and then they have Thursday night football against the L.A. Rams, who have a very similar logo to the Chargers now. I still cannot get over that, how similar those two logos look now, the stupid L.A. logo.
It's easier to flip on game day when you share a stadium with another team. Yeah.
I'm not kidding. When the first time I saw the logo, I thought it was a Chargers logo. I did not think it was the Rams logo.
I know. I got confused when...
I did. I was very confused.
They do the big team graphics on the schedule release. I'm like, well, which one's Chargers? Oh, that's Rams. Get it? Look. Oh, L.A.R. Rams. Okay. Got it.
So they've got that before they've got the Dolphins away. But they've got a lot of good games on the schedule, and we discussed earlier that with the first six games being with two road games in the first six, so that's the good news. Four of the first six are at home, but the two road games are against Seattle and against Kansas City. And we know that the Patriots will likely be the dogs against Seattle, at Seattle, Kansas City at Kansas City,
yep.
and then at home against San Francisco. Let's assume that in the other three home games they are a favorite, making them 3-3 if they win the games they're supposed to, lose the games they're supposed to, and they could be 3-3. That's not a great record after six. It's good enough, but they could be a good team, look like a good team, play better than we thought they would, and still only be 3-3 after six games with a lot of tough games left on the schedule. There's no way to dice this schedule up to find the soft spots or the easy stretch. It just doesn't exist. It's a hard schedule. It is.
It's a very hard schedule. But I think it gives them some spacing here. Like you said, the West Coast, first West Coast game number two. Excuse me. Then you'll go back out there to, what is that, weeks 12, 13 or whatever when you play Rams and Chargers. And I thought the league took care of you from the respect that we're going to give you the two West Coast games in a matter of 4 days. So you go out on a Friday. You play the Sunday night game. Then you play Thursday and you get on a plane and come back. You're really only out there for 6 days as opposed to a 9-10 day stretch, you know, where you would go out on a Friday, play the game, reroute the whole organization for an entire week, then you play the next Sunday. You really don't get back till Monday and get back at your business. So, and then, say your division is crap. And say Buffalo has a backward year. They've kind of padded December for you to give you a little break there as you ramp up for the playoffs, if you're a playoff team, to where it looks like the old typical Patriots month of December. Three divisional games and a pretty decent opponent in there. If the division is bad, that helps you. You know, could
right.
work against you. So.
Yeah, but the division could be better. I don't think the Jets will be much better, but the Dolphins and Bills could be better. The Bills will be a good team. I look at them, and I think that's a team that we've already gotten.
Right, it should be better.
We've already determined will be a decent team. 617-779-0985, your reaction to the schedule last night as the Patriots open up on September 13th against the Dolphins. We talked a lot over the last couple of days about what the start of the schedule will be like. So if Jarrett Stidham's the starting quarterback for the Patriots, his first road game is in week two at Seattle. You're throwing him right into the fire, Zoe.
Yeah,
that's not
fans,
a soft landing.
If they have fans there, yes. You know, if you get the 12s there and that place is ramped up and you can't hear yourself think, yeah, you're going to find out how he operates on the road early in his first year as a starter. And then you got Kansas City week four. And, you know, with the pandemic and say they do bump things back or say they eliminate these games, you're really taking care of Kansas City and Seattle, what I think is your two most difficult road games. I still would put Houston behind that. I'd put the Chargers game behind that. Those are your two hardest road games to me.
I really don't think it's going to happen, but it keeps being brought up. First month of the season. What if the first month gets, you know,
I don't think it's happening either. I'm
canceled.
Just saying theoretically, you know what I mean? But
No. I'm just saying, but let's say it does. The first month is gone. It's a huge help to the Patriots. Skipping
yes.
out on Seattle and Kansas City.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? That to me is something you got to think about. If that first month is played without fans, that's a help to the Patriots. That definitely is something that you look at and say, okay, well, that's a benefit. No noise at Kansas City, no noise at Seattle. In fact, in all the national stories that are written about the possibility of there being a competitive edge, those are the two teams that are brought up. Those are the two loudest stadiums in the NFL. By the way, Jim Louth not with us today, but he did share his thoughts on the schedule with us.
I'm sure he did.
That weeks 8 through 15 in his mind are a killer. Six road games in 8 weeks, including all divisional road games, which is, let me think, they have six plus the buys. That's all right, so that starts with November 1st. So he's saying November 1st through December 20th, in his mind, are the hard stretch. And there's also three primetime games in this stretch. Oof. That's at Buffalo, at the Jets, home against Baltimore, at Houston, home against Arizona, three road games, and that is the L.A. trip, Chargers, Rams, another road game, and the Dolphins. That's an eight-week stretch for the Patriots, six of which are on the road, and in that period, you play all of your road division games, which the Patriots, even when they're at their very best, sometimes they struggle with. whether that be some struggles up in Buffalo over the years, even in games they won. Not talking about losses, I'm talking about games they won but struggled in and had a hard time in. We've seen that in Miami. I'm not going to give the Jets that credit. Maybe it's because I don't like the Jets, but that's a hard stretch, those 8 weeks.
Very difficult.
And that follows, though, being 3-3. If they're 3-3 going into that stretch, what is this going to look like?
I mean, you get a chance to get off to a decent start in that stretch because you're at Buffalo, at Jets in there, and I think those are winnable games, right? Those are at least flip-the-quarter games for you, especially with Buffalo. San Francisco's going to be tough at home, but it's 4:30, and it's Jimmy, and Bill knows him, and how he's going to probably attack him. But that's still a good team. That team's loading up. Arizona, again, head-scratcher. What kind of team are they going to be? They have a lot of offensive firepower. Chandler Jones is still there. They got guys that could get after the quarterback. That's a team that could sort of give you some issues and really isn't on your radar right now. And then everybody else you know. But again, Chargers. Look at that Chargers team. That's a team that could give you problems. You're playing out there. It's Tyrod Taylor. That guy can move around. He's played against you. Had some good games. Or maybe the rookie will be playing by then. Herbert, who knows?
So that's all part of it. And Herbert could be good. May not be good. But I know you're not high on him, but he could be good.
Yeah.
Who knows? I think it's a little bit early to know what it's going to be. Also, today, NHL is coming up with some various playoff formats that they'd like to tinker with. Baseball is all over the map again. Man, I really feel like baseball needs to figure their crap out.
Haven't they? It's like baseball's in a damn circle that they can't get out of.
Every day, it's a new report on what baseball's thinking about doing and the things that they're going back to. And Hardy was talking yesterday about the MLBPA and Tony Clark saying, well, we're not in the loop. We don't know anything about what they're thinking. They seem to be a mess right now. They do, at least from a public standpoint, what people are being led to believe. We'll talk about all these things coming up in your calls. Don't go anywhere.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight. I ain't got many friends left to talk to. The waves are up and I'm in trouble. You know I don't want anything for you.
2 hours down.
What are you watching the clock today over there?
No, just noon time on a Friday.
That it is. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Patriots schedule came out last night. 5 primetime games for the New England Patriots. The Pats are playing in primetime as many times this year as they did the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that, and this is a typical Patriots schedule. It's the hardest schedule in the NFL. Based on the winning percentage of the opponents on the schedule in their records last season, it's the hardest one in the league. The Patriots have a bunch of hard games on here, and they've got primetime games, and they have 425 games, 3 of them. So half of their schedule are in national windows, though. What's it say about what the league believes about the Patriots? I think it says a couple of things. Number one, they believe they'll be okay. They'll be decent. They also probably believe the Patriots are still a mega draw, good or bad, whether it's fans of the Patriots across the country or it is people that are very interested in the Patriots post-Tom Brady in wanting the to story, see what it story. Is.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We've talked this week about the return of the NHL, when that may happen, how the Bruins will adapt, how the Bruins will fare, the meaning of the Stanley Cup once hockey is able to return, if it's able to return. Let's hear from Pierre LeBrun. Pierre LeBrun has some information in talking with Darren Dreger on TSN about what hockey's considering right now.
Well, I think what's starting to happen is perhaps some momentum. Now, what's happened this week is Monday on the Board of Governors call, James, Gary Bettman, said that, listen, 16 teams, 20 teams, or 24 teams are all options for a playoff format at this point. Now, again, on Wednesday, in the return to play committee call, I'm told that 16, 20, and 24 were, again, talked about as options. But of those three, from talking to people around the league, both on the team side and also on the player side, 24 teams seems to be gathering a bit of traction, the idea of a playoff format with 24 teams. Now, it's not everyone's cup of tea, and I spoke to some people who said, well, suddenly 24 teams, that means you bring in Montreal on the eastern side, you bring in Chicago on the west, the two 12th place teams. Those two teams were sellers at the trade deadline, and now you're inviting them in potentially to a playoff play-in. It's not for everyone. There's going to be debate right to the end here. But what we're really seeing is the idea that after really, really wanting to play out the regular season and involving all 31 teams, that perhaps those bottom seven teams who clearly wouldn't have a lot of motivation to come back and play some regular season games and then shut it down again might be discarded, which would be just fine with them. But again, let me stress, nothing is decided. These are just the conversations that are being had between both sides this week.
24 teams, 24 playoff teams in the NHL. I mean, now,
I understand okay. What you're saying there, but if it's what we talked about the other day, like I don't.
No, it's going to be magical Stanley Cup final, all right.
You guys are like just do the playoffs, just get in the playoffs. I'm thinking like, okay, I think the season's hit the wall at this point. And how are you going to motivate those teams to come back and finish a regular season? Like already got paid, we have no shot. You got to put more teams in to give them a shot, to give them some hope. And nobody's going to be happy with any scenario that they put out there. Somebody's always going to be bitching and being left on the outside looking in, if that be the case. But it's interesting what he said. Those teams that were really sellers, so they sold off, and now all of a sudden, hey, you're in the mix. It's kind of a head-scratcher.
No, you already put in more than half your league into the playoffs, and that's not enough? Now you've got to put in 24. It's not like you're adding, you know, it's not like you even went to 20. You're going straight to 24. Let's go to 24. That's a good plan. What does that even look like? What does that look like? No idea.
I don't know. And you start to mess with the notion and the very definition of what playoff teams are supposed to be. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, it's the one sport that really you look at and say, okay, if we're going to get through this and do it right and come back, you know, we probably can't have a regular season.
Well, you know, I don't think that's what they're talking about. There wouldn't be a regular season if they're letting 24 teams into the playoffs.
Right. It's a complete reimagining of what is supposed to take place throughout the course of, you know, a full season of a professional sport.
Oh, yeah.
And look, I know players are on both sides of this, and we've heard from, you know, players like Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby, and they say, yeah, start the playoffs, whatever. And you got other good players who say, no, you need some ramp-up time. The fact is, you don't get what you want. Nobody's getting what they want these days. So you're going to, if you want to play, and there's some players that don't want to play. We get that, too, based on the survey that we talked about. There are some guys who just want to scrap it and say, let's try it again next year. It's all done. But if you want hockey to come back in some way, shape, or form, the thing that makes the most sense is to say, okay, the regular season ended when we ended the regular season, and now we do the playoffs in a format that we might even scale down that. We might just do best of fives for the first rounds, and then maybe we only have a best of seven for the Stanley Cup final.
But, Hardy, with 24, you need to do some play-ins to determine how many will get into the bracket of 16.
Yeah, I don't like the 24. I don't think it...
Right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you can't... I mean, unless you're giving a bunch of teams buys.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I'm saying. You've got to get down to a certain number, however you choose to do it, because you've chosen to include 24 teams.
Yes. And to be on the outside looking in of those 24, I mean, if you take a more, I guess... normal approach to it with how you approach the postseason, then you're going to have more teams on the outside looking in. But that's the point. These teams that have no chance of making the playoffs or making any kind of a deep run, they don't want to come back and play a few games just for the sake of tuning up the teams they're going to have a chance to go on and win a Stanley Cup, whether it has an asterisk next to it or not. Like, no, what do I want to be your practice squad for? What's the benefit? What's the value in us doing that? Especially if they aren't going to be able to, you know, we're not going to have fans there. You're going to get some.
So this is how they're overcoming it, by giving everyone a shot to get in. But it's going to have to be something quick and easy. You're not going to have a 7-game series to figure that out. You're probably not even going to have a 5.
No, I don't.
And now you're going to make teams that are solidly in the playoffs have to play a short. I would even say, what are you going to do? Have a best of three? What is that? How does that look? It's not going to be 7. Maybe it is 5. And then you play out those 5-game series just to figure out who the bottom 8 seeds are in a field of 16. So you start with 24. You eliminate the 8. You're down to 16. And then you have a normal 16-team playoff bracket.
Why can't you just take the God. Top 16 teams right now and leave the other
because
15
you can't,
on
because
the outside
they can't,
looking in?
Because they can't get out of their own way. Because they're worried about how many dollars they're going to make. That's what it comes down to.
Take the top
16. Because it's
16,
ruled by
the money. That almost perfectly cuts the league in half. You know? We've got 31 teams. Take your top
24 team circus is what they're going to do for the playoffs. Yep, I knew they were going to mess with it. I knew all these leagues were going to screw this up. Baseball can't get out of their own way either. There's more on baseball. And oh, by the way, I want to hear this clip before we get into baseball of Darren Dreger talking about preparing for another wave of the virus. Here's Darren Dreger.
You could easily adopt a play-in format that trims 24 down to the traditional 16 playoff teams. And by doing that, you don't have regular season games. You have 3 to 6 play-in games. And that means you can get through the process more quickly. And the reasoning behind that would be the preparation for a second wave of COVID-19. If the NHL once again has to shut down in September, maybe October, maybe drift into November, there's a built-in break. And then they reset and get going on the 2020-21 season again as late as December.
How does that prepare you for the second wave?
I don't understand
that. That means it's over. That means it's done. And then you start a new season. That doesn't mean you get to finish anything.
Correct.
In fact, you're running your season longer with 24 teams instead of 16. That doesn't
right.
make
Thanks,
any
guys.
Sense.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for trying. You know, we tried to get in. We couldn't do it. We're up against the wall here. Well, we hit a deadline. We're just going to stop here, and we're going to get ready for next year, and we're going to begin the season. Be like, what?
What are we?
But they also
it doesn't prepare you for anything. Because we decided to let in 24 teams and we dragged this thing out, we dragged it out so long that we ran into a second wave of coronavirus. Yeah, you idiots, that's your fault, not anybody else's. Oh, but we felt more prepared this way.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Darren Dreger? Yeah, they were so prepared for the second wave, it led to the ending of the season without crowning a champion. What's your definition of prepared? That's not mine.
No, I think what what you're seeing in the NHL is the thing that we talked about before, where other leagues have some idea of getting back, and they have. I don't know if it's a PR problem, Beetle. I don't know if it's a marketing
they are
issue.
Crippled. They are crippled by their indecision. All of them are.
Well, here's the NHL communication, but at MLB. Least in the NHL, at least in the NBA and the MLB, there are ideas floated out there that seem to have some basis in reality. All of the NHL ideas just seem to be so far-fetched. What, you're going to stick them all in North Dakota? What's this one? You're going to they're going to put
New Hampshire?
They're going to send every team to New Hampshire.
Buffalo.
And to and to South Dakota. They're going to play in where? What are you doing? Like none of their ideas seem to have like a whole lot of basis in reality. Where the other ones you can at least envision a way where the basketball would do it. And there's holes in those arguments too, but none of them seem to be as far-fetched or as baseless in reality as the NHL ones do. And that bugs me because the NHL, that'd be great. Oh my God, just to get a quick playoff and crown yourself a champion here in the early summer with the NHL. Yeah, let's do that. It doesn't feel like it's going down the right path for that.
John Heyman had this yesterday. While the hope is to play the season in regular parks, which has been sort of the trending report this week, guys, we've talked about that, MLB is doing homework on a three-city plan and the Arizona bubble plan. Mm. Oh, my God. It's May 7th yesterday. What the hell have you guys been doing for 2 months?
When do they reconvene? That's my question.
Now they're doing the homework? It's late.
COVID is not a daily thing.
You failed already. The grades are in. Now we're going to do some homework on this Arizona idea of ours. Now we're going to look into a three-team thing. What have you been doing for all of this time off where nothing has been happening? The clock is ticking. You may have a window to play some games. You may have a window here to get in a season, and you're going to screw it up. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
They can't get out of their own way. Now they're going to look into the plans. Good, good. That's good. Because you haven't been talking about that for 2 months. Please. But the goal is to play in the ballparks. But now they're going to do some homework and look into some of the plan Bs.
Well, some of the bubble plans.
What if the players have said, no, we're not doing it? And now it's back to, we catering to the union and the players again.
And then there's this idiotic idea, and I'm going to take it at face value in John Heyman's tweet. Not his idea, MLB's. It says, it's been suggested, and many owners are suggesting, that spring training at home parks, not regular in Arizona, Florida sites. Let me read this one more time because I had a hard time understanding what Ellie was saying to begin with. The goal is to play at teams' regular home parks, and many owners are suggesting even spring training at the home parks, meaning when there's spring training 2.0, you don't go to Florida. The Red Sox will go to Fenway Park for spring training for 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
Okay, they're going to their home ballpark to prepare for the season. They're not going back down to Florida to Fort Myers. It says that's being debated. If spring is in franchise cities, they'd rely on intra-squad games where they'd play each other. Like, okay, what was the other plan? You know, travel to New York? What the hell was the other idea there? I don't know. I just think baseball's got their head up their ass, and they're not going
to
figure this out.
I have less hope
for baseball
case.
By the day.
Yeah. And even going back 3 weeks ago where they said, okay, we want to maybe get back to this point, start having a little bit of a spring training, you thought, baseball might be the first one back. Now it seems like they may not be.
Yep, and that July 1st report that Trevor Plouffe had, John Heyman said MLB's target date is early July, and they have even thought about possibly July 4th for symbolism. Again, that idea has been discussed for 6 weeks now, but that's a hope for now and far from a certainty. And that's, again, him reporting on sources within MLB. That's just our hope. Okay.
Yeah, July 4th symbolism. That's
all right.
Great.
Well, what's the plan? Is there a plan? The NHL is talking about 24 teams in the playoffs. Major League Baseball is now just exploring going to Arizona, according to Heyman. Now they're doing the homework on the three-city plan and the bubble plan or having spring training in their home ballparks. Nothing has been decided. Not a damn thing. Oh, and then they have players, by the way, who say, yeah, even if you do that bubble thing, I'm not going, including one guy on the Red Sox. You'll hear that coming up next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap and the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're in a situation right now where you can't make this mandatory. You know, you can't tell a guy you have to come play or else your roster spot's not going to be here when you want to come back. You can't tell a guy to risk his life and the life of his family and the life of anybody who he chooses to be around to come play this game. And so there's probably going to have to be some waivers signed and whatever else you need to have done to make guys feel comfortable coming back. And then, you know, MLB and the teams are going to have to do everything in their power to make sure that we go about this the best way possible and don't just start playing games, but really set an example of how to do this and how to do this well and how to do this safely.
That is Colin McHugh, Red Sox pitcher, former Astro. He's not going. He's out. He's like, you guys go do this thing without me. I'm not going to go. Can't ask everybody to go. You can definitely ask everybody to go, but if you don't go, you're probably not going to get paid.
Yeah, you don't get paid.
But it is what it is.
That's your choice.
He's choosing not to go. And he is one of those guys, Hardy, and this is why I think it's interesting that he said this. He is one of those guys that, he's made, I think he's made about $16 million in his career. He's 32 years old. So, listen, he's not starving, okay? If he takes a year off, he's not starving. But he could, he's set to make, I think, $5 million was what he signed for. I got to look that up. But let's assume it was $5 million. That means his career earnings this season alone would go from 16 to 21. By him showing up and playing this year, and he is someone who's saying, I'm not doing it. That's a guy who's much closer to the league minimum than a guy like Mike Trout. Right?
Right. Oh yeah, definitely.
He's a veteran minimum player, not a minimum like a rookie is, but he's
$5 million would mean a lot more than a rookie.
That's
a lot
of money to him, right?
Yeah.
I would just say that this is coming from someone who is not a Mike Trout, who is not a Mookie Betts. And his deal this year is very incentive laden. It's got $4.25 million, up to 4.25 is the value. I remember it being close to five, but the base salary is $600,000. So this is someone that is much closer to the bottom of the league than the top, especially if that's $600,000 plus $4 million in incentives. And he's saying, I'm not going, I'm not doing it. And that's the first time we've heard from someone who's at sort of the bottom of the barrel, even though, trust me, everybody who's in the MLB barrel is in a good place. But that's not Mike Trout saying that, Hardy. That's all. That's why I found it interesting what he said.
Yeah, and he's not alone. There's going to be other guys who feel the exact same way. And he's talking about not just for him, but for the other people around the league, for guys with pre-existing conditions, with the age of some of their managers and some of that. All of it has to be factored in. All of it has to be taken into consideration. I understand that. But to me, all of these things are, if they decide to go ahead with this when things are still, quote-unquote, technically unsafe, right? If you're trying to push something and trying to get something out there in terms of playing baseball and having some kind of a season when most of the country is still in some form of a lockdown and they are advising people to more often than not than just to stay home. But if people are out and about and people are starting to get on with their daily, and we've seen it, we've seen, you know, openings in some states, we'll see how they fare. here over the next couple of weeks, if cases and hospitalizations start to spike again, and if it turns out it's a bad idea, then throw all this stuff out the window. Then none of it's going to happen anyway, whether it's in a bubble or not. But if you're talking about July, if you're talking about getting back to work in June, right, more than a month from now, and then with a couple few week ramp up, you're talking about playing games in July, then those with pre-existing conditions or those guys who don't want to leave their family, now you're just talking about work. Once you get beyond a public health issue, now it's just whether or not you want to leave your family for that amount of time. And I understand that's not what they signed up for, and some guys just might flat out not agree to do it. But I think none of these leagues are back playing and getting together the number of people that they need to, from the players to the coaches to the support staff, unless there is some high level of safety and some high level of acceptance that, yeah, it's safe to gather in groups of more than 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, as long as these people have been tested and they're asymptomatic. And, you know, but at some point it's going to happen, right? We know that we have to hang that out in front of us, and we have to believe that, you know, there will be an end to this. And if there is an end to it, then what's the problem? Is the problem the underlying conditions, or is the problem you don't want to leave your family because you're a father of three? You know, what is it that we're talking about here?
Well, I think he was speaking specifically to the idea of being put in a bubble by having to go away to Florida.
I think he's trying to speak in general.
Or going to Arizona. But I think he was talking about both topics, but I think for him specifically, he said, you know, given what's going on right now, I'm not leaving my family behind. Well, what I think he was speaking to.
I wouldn't expect them to right now, but what about a month from now?
Right, you're not opening tomorrow.
Yeah, things look a lot different.
Well, with his league, the rate they're going, they're not going to get anybody back. So I don't think he really has much to worry about.
Well, they're looking into Arizona right now, Beetle. So don't say they're not getting back. They're starting to look into Arizona.
I thought they started with Arizona.
They're doing the homework
away from that. Then they did the Florida.
They're doing
thing,
their homework on Arizona. They know what the capital is.
Things in Florida.
They understand the difference between Flagstaff, Phoenix, and Tucson. They can point out those general areas of those cities on a map. They're doing their homework on Arizona.
Harry
it's
in
hot.
The car on
they're
baseball.
Learning, they're learning it's hot.
Harry, you feeling good about baseball making its way back?
Yeah. Like you said, there's no plan. But here's the plan, and it works, all right? They need to start, and they need to start, let's say July 1st, July 4th. They need to start and play. And they need to start, and they need to play, and they need to play doubleheaders. And they, by that time, this virus is heading down, and it's heading down because it's a seasonal thing. It might come back. We're going to see, and by July, we're going to see vaccines or whatever. We're going to know what's happening in the future. And so they have to play. They have to play, and they can have fans in the stands, but not 30,000. Maybe they can have 2,000 separated by life.
Yeah, so like a game in at the Trop. Yeah, that'll be
Harry,
fun.
You sound as scattered as Major League Baseball right now. They might as well put you on the payroll.
We learned
get
a lot of new facts.
Getting your ideas and your brainstorming out there on the table.
We learned a lot of new facts about this disease at that last call.
Double headers every day and a vaccine in July. What's wrong with either one of those notions?
2,000 fans.
That might be the assumption that baseball is working on right now. Who the hell knows? Who knows what they're thinking?
I don't think they're playing double headers every day.
Double headers. That's how you get it done. July 4th, double headers every day. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up next. College football. That's a much harder thing to pull together. The latest on that and your calls next.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Something I've seen in recent days, though,
kids.
Is that according to some who work in college athletics, it won't matter whether or not classes are online or if students are back on campus for college football to begin.
What'd I say last week?
Is that,
we'll be shocked if they kept them online and allowed just the athletes back.
I can't. That's a good development though. If you want college football back, is that what they're saying?
Yeah, well, he's going to play.
Brett McMurphy says online courses won't stop college football. Do we have the sound of that, T-Bone?
Multiple conference commissioners told Stadium that online-only academic instruction will not prevent student athletes from returning to campus to play football this season. This is a dramatic shift from just a few weeks ago. That's when many college administrators indicated the general student body would need to return to on-campus classes for student athletes to participate in college football. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby told me going to class in an online sense is satisfactory. Mike Oresko, Commissioner of the American Conference, told me, "What if with virtual classes you could protect football players, staff, and others? Why couldn't they play? That's something that needs to be discussed." Also, 5 of the 10 Football Bowl Subdivision Conference Commissioners, including 3 from the Power 5 leagues, said their respective conferences likely would play football this fall, even without all of their league members. That is a very real possibility, with some conferences spread throughout as many as 11 different states.
So some conferences, are willing to play with fewer teams. They'll rearrange their schedule, and they'll play with just fewer teams out there. And what this says, though, is that there are commissioners who are saying that online classes won't prohibit students from going back. But you got to remember who this is coming from. It's not coming from universities. It's coming from a commissioner of a league.
Right.
And a commissioner of a league who is handsomely compensated and works with a staff full of people who are handsomely compensated and have been running the college football scam for as long as they've been running it, making all this ridiculous money on the backs of college athletes. I'm just wondering if there's a university that is going to be on board with that. I know there would be some, right? Alabama. Hey, we don't care who's here, who's not. We're playing football.
Right.
And you've got to sort of figure in, you know, locations and how certain states feel about things. But they're going to run into universities that say, no, we don't believe our students should be on campus. Therefore, there are no students on campus.
Dude, that would be the student-athlete's dream. Just go play ball and just lay around your bed, and open your computer when you want to do the videos, and we have to watch the half-hour video that we're required to watch. And there's no set class times, and we just complete the project by the end of the week. We could all cram on Thursday. It's a dream. Dream come true. We don't have to get up and, you know, put your coat on and your boots and lug yourself to class in the snow. No, just sit here in our cushy little apartment, take the online classes, and go play ball. Sounds like a plan. Yeah.
I mean, is that the real danger that they're thinking about? It's like you've got 100 and some odd players on a lot of these college football teams, right? Their rosters are ginormous. And you've got all the staff, you've got all the coaches. Like, well, we can keep them safe. We'll just keep them out of class. No. First of all, I don't know how many classes a lot of these guys are going to anyway.
Bingo.
And second of all, that's not the issue. The issue is if these guys are going to, you know, college-aged players we're talking about who are going to be socializing, I would assume, when they're not taking their classes otherwise.
They're going to stay in their dorms.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting everyone back together. Just starting with the players of 100 or more. Can we double that when we add in all the coaches and support staff and trainers and everyone else who works with and around the team? So you got a couple hundred people getting together every day for practices and traveling for games. Well, why couldn't they just take online classes and get together and play football? Well, they could, but you're still getting a lot of people together, and I don't think that's not enough mitigation. There's a word that we've thrown around a lot lately. You're still getting all these people together for extended periods and in really close contact. Football is a contact sport. Last time I checked, what are you really worried about? Having them sitting too close to somebody at a lecture? I mean, Yeah. I understand. I understand what he's doing.
Cafeteria.
He's trying in every way he can to make sure that college football is played this year as one of the officials with the league. But it didn't make any. Why couldn't that? Well, you could. I just don't know that it solves anything.
Let me bring up a possibility. Let's say that the SEC is the only conference that were to come back.
Yeah.
How great would that be for college football as a fan? For someone, and by the way, for someone who's in a market like this where you don't really have a team that is on the level of the SEC. You just don't.
BC's there down the street.
Well, they're in the ACC, but they're not on the level of most SEC teams.
No, I see what you're saying. Well, this would be awesome for when we do our picks because Tebow would actually have to pick real games. He couldn't pick those corny Alcorn State versus the WAC and Sandy.
I'm going to take San Diego State plus 43 in the end. First half over.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be me?
It's already a Beetle.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be you, Tom. Yep.
Yeah.
So if you had like the SEC playing and there's 14 teams and you're watching, you're paying attention to it, you become invested in teams that you otherwise don't really root for, but you've got such a nice, tidy, easy to digest type of schedule. And you can keep up with all the happenings.
Yeah.
Might not be the worst thing in the world. May not. But we shall see. College football's got a lot of different people involved. And so that's at least one conference commissioner believes the same thing that Zoe believes, which is online courses or not, you go back, play football, make an exemption for the football players.
Play ball. Came here to play ball.
The odds are out on each game for the Patriots. The lines are out on their games, though.
How is this even possible? Like, seriously, how is this even possible?
Well, because they're always subject to change. That's how it's possible. All right, let's go through it. Have you seen it yet? Have you looked at it?
I did.
All right, let's go through it next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.